The new film from Disney and Pixar features a waste allocation load lifter Earth-class, WALL-E for short, who meets an extraterrestrial vegetation evaluator, or EVE. Their adventures are chronicled in WALL-E, which is directed and co-written by Andrew Stanton, longtime Pixar animator and director of Finding Nemo. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Andrew Stanton's WALL-E is one for the ages. It's among the most sublime feature-length works of animation ever made in this country. The film centers on a trash compactor, 700 years after the end of civilization on Earth. WALL-E, that's his name, is the last machine from an age in which cleaning up garbage was mankind's highest priority, before people gave up altogether and rocketed away. Now, this squat, childlike robot with his pivoting goggle eyes resides in a metropolis surrounded by skyscrapers, the turnout on closer inspection to be compressed trash bricks piled high into the soot-gray sky. Dust storms drive him into his lair, where he endlessly rewatches clips from the film Hello, Dolly, particularly the opening number with Michael Crawford warbling about going to the city and kissing a girl. WALL-E's only living companion is an insect, a sort of evolved roach that's pretty indestructible. And speaking of indestructible, WALL-E consumes cream pastries clearly modeled on Twinkies, a great punchline to all the jokes about the synthetic cake's imperishability. The first part of the film is wordless, apart from Fred Willard on an old video as a global CEO of the giant corporation that took over the planet, by and large, think Walmart. But then a rocket descends. Here it comes to Thomas Newman's score, which, like the movie, is a gloriously inspired synthesis. Warner cartoons, sci-fi awe, Shostakovich terror. What emerges from that ship is another robot, Eve, a smooth, white, egg-like blob with a head that floats above her unattached, vaguely Japanese, with violet cat eyes, like a sprite out of the work of the great Japanese animator Hayao Miyazaki. WALL-E is instantly smitten, even though Eve blasts anything she deems a threat. There were weird advance rumbles that WALL-E, the movie, would be tough going for kids, that its story is not just grim, but its storytelling experimental, ridiculous. Although the images are bizarre, the narrative is as simple as Chaplin, Keaton, Jacques Tati, even Teletubbies. Maybe it only seems experimental because it's evenly paced and linear and doesn't call for viewers to do the perceptual equivalent of multitasking, which viewers these days seem to like. The story itself, well, that is a bit of a downer. Although there's plenty of silent movie slapstick, the apocalyptic context adds a big dose of melancholy. Eve's mission and where it leads her and WALL-E, I'll let you discover for yourself. But humans of a sort are involved, and there are rollicking chases and a tender love story. But the film never feels conventional. The sense of loss is too pervasive. From the beginning, Pixar, a beacon for the future of film technology, has focused on loss, decay, and the dark side of materialism. The old-fashioned toys of Toy Story were soulful repositories of love, rendered obsolete by newer and fancier models. Even Pixar's most routinely plotted film, Cars, was steeped in the romance of old automobiles. It's as if machines hold memories that humans forget. Director Andrew Stanton here extends that theme to the ruination of the planet, which he explicitly ties to an unchecked free market that softens and fattens people and separates them from the natural world. The world that's left is ugly, yet breathtaking, almost beautiful, not in the artsy way of dystopian sci-fi films like Blade Runner, but in the sheer scale of the devastation. It's beautiful in other ways, too. The movie takes found objects, cultural detritus, some of it discarded, and compacts them into art. Wally's goggle eyes move with the delicacy of a Balinese puppet. There are delirious echoes of Kubrick's 2001 and a rocketing space pas de deux between Wally and Eve that's transcendental in its lyricism. I think kids will get on this movie's level, and grown-ups will want to see it more than once to savor its beauties. I envy you your first viewing, those 93 minutes of wonder to come.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.